So if there was an area of our marriage when we got married that I thought this will be the easiest, most
Sex.
exciting, no question. You do. You were thinking the same thing.
Absolutely. I thought we might struggle a little bit, but if there's an area that we've got down, it will. Well, not that we have down
No, we
because.
didn't have it down. We were saving
But we
ourselves. But
assumed that we would have it down.
and then we get married. 6 months in, we were struggling with all kinds of things, and we realized this area of marriage is really, really hard work.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com or on our Family Life app.
This is Family Life Today.
We went to the Weekend to Remember, Family Life Weekend to Remember, marriage getaway 2 weeks before our wedding. We didn't take notes. We just drew pictures of 2 weeks from now, we get to make love.
You did that. Pictures of a bed.
Yeah. They're still in our manual. And then we get married. 6 months in, we were struggling with all kinds of things. And we realized this area of marriage is really, really hard work. It's beautiful, but it's hard work. And I think we're not alone. I think a lot of couples experience the same thing.
I agree. And so we're excited because we have Gary Thomas with us. Gary, welcome to Family Life Today.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back.
And Deborah Falada is with us too. Deborah, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
It's fun because we've had both of you on before and we love you guys. And so it's really fun to have you together because you've written a book.
Yeah, you've written a book about the topic we just talked about, married sex.
The subtitle is A Christian Couple's Guide to Reimagining Your Love Life, which is great. And I feel like this book is so perfect for our time, for our culture. The first time we went to a Weekend Remember marriage getaway, I had never heard a biblical viewpoint on married sex. And I feel like you are bringing this into a culture that we need to hear God's game plan.
So here's the question. We've got Gary and Deborah. How in the world did you two come together to write this book?
Yeah, isn't this kind of weird, you guys?
Well, there have been a number of national marriage ministry leaders that have been talking to me, and there was this email thread going on saying, we're looking for a new book. Some great ones out there. They felt like some were dated, some had language that the wives didn't appreciate, but the guys liked. But I didn't think I just had the skill set to do it on my own because sex is so complex. It's spiritual, it's emotional, it's relational, it's physical. And so I approached Deborah. She's a licensed counselor. She's a woman. She's much younger than me. I've been married almost as long as she's been alive. So she could speak to younger marriages, how it's getting started. I could talk to the older people. I was in my late 50s when I wrote the book. So that we could have sort of this theological, psychological, and practical look to really help couples, a safe resource with a God-honoring, even more God-worshiping worldview, exploring, I think, just this wonderful gift of marital sexuality.
Yeah, and I tell you, when you sent it to us to endorse, or asked us to endorse it, I was like, Ann, I was like, wow, this is interesting. We got Gary and Deborah, not married, but they wrote this book together. And then as I read it, I thought, you did it so well. The way you sort of balanced each other was really well done. So Deborah, as you were, you know, even getting Gary's manuscripts and reading it, what were you thinking?
Yeah, so we didn't start writing until we decided, yeah, we're going to do this. We're going to write this book. And I think one thing that makes this book different, like you said, we don't write from our experience. We write from our expertise. So what I mean by that is I'm a counselor. I've written 5 books. Gary is a pastor. He's written over 20 books. We've both worked with numerous married couples. And not only that, but we took a survey of over 900 couples for this book. And then we had a private Facebook group where we interviewed over 100 different couples. So this is the stories of so many different people. And I think sometimes Christian books, they base the entire book on their personal experience. But neither of our personal experiences is a cookie cutter mold of sex in marriage. So you're going to find a whole lot of different stories and perspectives throughout this book.
Deborah, how long have you and John been married?
We've been married for 15 years and we've got 4 kids, one of which was a result of writing this book. I kid you not, our 4th surprise baby, because, you know, John and I had to practice what I was writing, right? You can't just put a book out there when you haven't done the research.
And Gary, what about you? How long have you guys been married?
37 years.
Wow. And how many kids and grandkids?
I have 3 kids and the 2 best grandkids in the universe.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Ours are pretty good too.
Yeah. Okay. So as you started writing this book, you're thinking what? Because I mean, like you said, Gary, there's plenty of these books out there. But when I picked it up, I think I knew exactly where you're going. But I'd love to hear your thought as you're like the intent, the hope, the dream is as couples read this, they think what?
Because every person approaches sex differently. We wanted to set people theologically free. Some people have religious hangups. They had just some bad religious upbringings, negative messages about sex, or don't enjoy it too much or whatnot. So we start out really getting into the Song of Songs, how explicit it is, how it doesn't just allow sex, it celebrates sex, it elevates it as just one of God's sterling creations, brilliant idea on his behalf. But some people don't have a theological problem. They have psychological issues with it. And Deborah, as a counselor, is able to deal with that. She has a chapter, you have to go backwards to go forward sometimes. Maybe there was abuse. Maybe there's guilt from previous relationships. Maybe there's just the way you were raised. And then sex is also very physical. You might be theologically free and psychologically free, but there are physical aspects of sex that can hold you up. I was shocked when Deborah would tell me about how some of the couples she worked with, the guys literally didn't know body parts on their wife, had never thought about it and didn't know where to go. So we really wanted to have this comprehensive book. Whatever hangups you're having, this is to set you free so that this feeds the marriage. It creates that special vibe. Couples know what I'm talking about. When you're clicking in this area, there's just a different vibe in the household. There's this spontaneous affection. There's those wonderful smiles when you catch each other. We're the only ones that know this is private, this is intimate, but this is so great. It just creates a different home. And so we wanted to remove the roadblocks that keep it from happening and then inspire them to say, you might be doing okay, but here's how God's word and other couples attest that this can be even better. Your best days sexually can be ahead of you.
Deborah, as you have been meeting with clients over the years, is this an area that people struggle with in their marriage?
Absolutely. I think more often than not, at some point in your marriage, because every 2 people are going to come into marriage with a different set of problems and a different set of sexual problems. It might be early on in the honeymoon stage. It might be later on in marriage. But the problem is people don't know where to turn. They don't know who to talk to. And especially in the church, when I surveyed people and asked them, where do you get your information about sex? The majority said either nowhere, we just kind of try to figure it out on our own, or we Google it. And we all know Google is not always reliable for this type of information. So it's just not one of those subjects that you hear about from the pulpit, or you talk about in small group, or you compare notes with your friends at Starbucks. And so many people are struggling alone. And we wanted to show people that, hey, first of all, you're not alone. Everybody has problems. But instead of being surprised by them, we just need to be prepared for them so that we can get through them.
One of the things I loved in working with so many couples that Deborah talked about is that we were able to give stories you would never tell in a small group, because it would be oversharing. We don't need to know about each other's sexual lives. But with that anonymity and changed names and whatnot, they could say, hey, here's how we're using the sense of smell or taste or touch or sound. So couples can grow in, I think, a very tasteful but appropriate way that creates a little level of anonymity, but we can still learn from each other. And so I do think there are just a lot of very practical, time-tested tips that you're able to share that, frankly, you just can't in a church context for obvious reasons.
Mm. Yeah, I remember my very first sermon at the church I helped start 30 years ago was week 4. The title was Sex, What a Great Idea. It was really just a simple sermon, like the Word of God says sex is a beautiful thing between a husband and wife and the covenant of marriage, blah, 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 blah. This guy comes walking up to me. He goes, hey, I don't know what they call you around here, preacher, pastor, priest, whatever you are, but I just got to tell you, that was one blank of a sermon. That's what he said. And I look at him, I go, really? He goes, yeah. I go, have you been here before? Nope, haven't been to church in 25 years. That's what he said. I go, well, how'd you end up here? He goes, well, you won't believe this, but my wife came here last week, and she looks at me, and she goes, hey, this church is like no other church I've been to. You would like it. You need to come next week. And he said, I'm laying in bed, and I said, I'm not going to some blanking blank church. And she goes, well, you might be interested. Next week's topic is sex. What a great idea. So that's why I'm here. I can't believe you talked about this. He goes, and I'll be back. You know what? 6 weeks later, he gave his life to Christ. It's one of these beautiful stories, but I didn't think I was going to share that. Just when you started talking about how we Google, Christian couples Google to understand sex, and they don't go to the Word of God and say, what is God's plan? And so you went there.
Yeah, I think we appreciated that.
You went there, and I was so appreciative of that. And I thought, I want to hand this book to every couple I know, because so many Christian married couples are not free in this area of their marriage. For whatever reason, they are not, and they need godly counsel and wisdom on how to approach this. So talk about that. As you wrote it, were you hoping that this would bring Christian couples alive in this area of their marriage?
You know, people aren't comfortable talking about sex. They just aren't. And I think it's especially true when we come from a religious church culture. I mean, I'm surprised at how many people can't even say certain words out loud. And it just goes to show you the comfort level of communicating about the subject and talking about it. And that's part of the problem, is that we spend so much time telling couples what not to do before marriage. Stay away from sex. Don't have sex before marriage. And then when they get married, the conversation stops, and all of a sudden they're supposed to magically feel a connection, magically feel no guilt and shame, magically feel comfortable talking about it. That's not how it works. So really, in my mind, this book is almost a training grounds for people to give them the tools and the words and the phrases and the questions they need to have really important conversations that are going to impact their marriage in a really powerful way.
Well, you guys say marriage is where sex goes to die. Like, that's a quote.
Well, that's the culture. And what we're trying to say is that marriage should be where sex goes to thrive. But to build on what Deborah said, I have a friend. I think he's one of my godliest, wisest, most emotionally stable friends. He's a bit older than me. He's in his mid-60s, has a PhD in counseling, studied under Dr. Larry Crabb. And he's the kind of guy I go to advice. But he told me, Garrett, I read this book, and he goes, and it was really difficult for me. He goes, it was so helpful, and I so needed to read it. He goes, but when you talk about sex so frankly, man, it gets into inner motivations, fear, shame. Talk about intimate relating. And what he said is, you might have some pushback, but those who are most hesitant to read a book like this are probably the people who need to read it the most.
Yeah.
Because if you can work through that uncomfortableness, if you can be that vulnerable with each other, if you can share some of your deepest desires and then see it received in a healthy way, because it really can just remake your marriage in some really good ways.
Now, help a couple do that. Because I got to be honest, I've said this before. I have been more comfortable standing on a stage preaching about sex to 1,000 people and talking about it. That's easier for me than in our kitchen or in our bedroom talking to Ann about it. There's something that's so intimate when it's just a husband and wife. I'm not saying that's everybody's experience, but I've found, wow, this is easy to talk about publicly.
I don't think most people would feel comfortable speaking to thousands about it, maybe.
Well, I'm just saying, it just feels like, well, it's...
But I get what you're saying.
It's easier, but when we get in here, and I think it's what you were just saying, Gary, there's fears.
It's one-on-one.
There's expectations that I have that we haven't talked about. I don't know what it is, but I think a lot of couples struggle, as you know, to talk about it. So maybe we go to the therapist and say, Deborah, how do we...
Let me tell you what that is.
Yeah. Tell us.
Counsel me right now.
When you think about it, when you're speaking about sex in the context of a church setting, even unpacking scripture about sex, even Gary's chapter one, all about what scripture says, that's just a facts conversation. It's the basic facts. Here's what scripture says. Here's what we should believe. When you get into the bedroom, then it becomes personal. Mm. It's not just about the facts. It's about my needs. It's about my feelings. It's about my opinions. That is a much more vulnerable conversation because it requires you to dig a little deep and share what you need, what you desire, what you don't like, what you want. You're putting yourself in a vulnerable position when you talk about sex in your marriage. And that's why we spend so much time in this book explaining that sometimes what we think is a sex problem is actually a relationship problem in disguise, because you need to have that level of comfort and safety and trust and security in your relationship before you can have these conversations about sex. And so we spend a lot of time unpacking what it looks like to have a healthy relationship, what it looks like to work on your marriage above the sheets before you try to work on your marriage under the sheets, because one will always fuel the other. And it is a vulnerable conversation.
So Deborah, if you were talking to Dave and I when we were, you know, we're...
She is talking to Dave and I.
to young Dave and I, our first year of marriage, where it was great for the first 6 months. Then we come into your office and we say, we are really struggling in this area now. And we are struggling in our marriage now. Which I think that's pretty typical for couples. How would you direct us?
It is pretty typical because one tends to reflect the other. In rare cases, that's not the case. In rare cases, it's hormones or menopause or some sort of physical illness or problem or depression. But more often than not, there's relationship issues that need to be addressed. There's communication issues. There's conflict management. There's bitterness that we're holding on to, resentment, things that we're not dealing with, unmet expectations, insecurities. And when we start to unpack those things, many times you find the impact then in your sex life as well. Things begin to change in that department. So that's where I would start. I would sit you down and say, okay, let's get to some of these roots. Let's figure out what's going on underneath the surface.
And I got it. You know, as I heard you say that, Deborah, I thought that feels like what I think when I'm standing over a golf ball. You know, when I'm standing over a golf ball, it's like, there's like 19 things I got to be thinking about. You just gave me like 10. I'm like, no wonder I'm so frozen. It's like, should I get my hips? Should I get my hips? Like, I can't even, you know. So I get it. It is complex and it's intimate. And so it's so hard to work through all that.
Let me narrow down your 19 things to one
yes.
that I think can be helpful. And this isn't for everybody, but I think it's for a lot of them. I think particularly when men try to share with wives and wives try to share with their husbands, and there's so much fear and angst. And the focus and where the fights usually start is it's on the what. I want this. Why don't we do this? Why do you want that? And the what becomes a real issue. And I say, go with the why. Why do you want that? Or open up, honey, I'm terrified to share this with you. Be vulnerable. There's something I really desire. I'm afraid I'm going to be shamed or humiliated, or you're going to think, are you even a Christian? But go with the why and the vulnerability, so that regardless of what the what is decided, whether it's yes or no, that's still up for grabs. It's always up for grabs. It's got to be 100% consensual. But it creates vulnerability, which creates intimacy, which creates connection. So I would say begin these conversations with vulnerability and then the why. And I've talked with both men and women who are the higher drive spouses, and they both have said that's been a huge breakthrough for them to not just fight about the what, but to do an end run and say, okay, here's the why.
You guys, as we close, how do we bring God into this when maybe we're both hurt? Maybe we feel the lack of hope in this area. Is that piece of God, like, I know that you're going to say, yes, this is important. As Dave and I would say, this is where you go. But what would you say to couples? Deborah, I'll start with you.
I think seeing sex as a place where God wants us to thrive, a place that God created for our good, our safety, our security, this beautiful place in marriage. I think when we can see God looking down and wanting us to thrive in this area, it kind of frees us, because a lot of us come from backgrounds where we think, I don't even think God cares about this. I don't think this is even good. I would be embarrassed if God knew. So sometimes even shifting our perspective of how we believe God looks at the subject can begin to change our own personal insecurities and fears.
That's so funny, because the first time I heard at the Weekend Remember Marriage Conference, they said, bring God into your bedroom. You know, I'm 19 years old. I'm like, that sounds like the worst plan I've ever heard. Because of my past and because of shame and abuse and not feeling like God invented it. Gary, what would you say?
Well, that points to my answer, Anne, because let's be honest, for the vast majority of us, our first experience with sex did have sin involved. Hmm. Whether it was something we were doing we shouldn't be doing, whether somebody was doing something to us we shouldn't be doing. And the way the brain operates, when your first experience with something is shrouded in guilt, it's hard to get out of that guilt. Hmm. And what we're pointing toward in this book is to really help people be drawn closer to God in the midst of this sexual experience, not just each other. We want them to honor God. I think that's healthy sex, where you're thanking God, you made me this way. Hmm. You made my spouse this way. It only works when we're together, and completely refashioning the way we look at sex and what we appreciate about sex, so that we're worshiping God because of sex. He's the designer. He's the one that thought it up. And so it really can be this oasis. We have this chapter called En Gedi Sex, where sex can be this oasis in the midst of a desert, a life of hurt and pain and fears for the future and frustration in the present. And it can be a place where we connect not just with each other, but with God. That's what we're aiming for.
Because we are bombarded every day with cultural messages about sex, which run completely contrary to what the Bible teaches, it's easy for us to push the pendulum back in the other direction and say, we shouldn't talk about this, we shouldn't think about it, there's something wrong or dirty here. I so appreciate what Gary Thomas and Deborah Falada have done here today and in their book, Married Sex. They are bringing this subject out in the open where it belongs and addressing it in a healthy biblical way. We've got copies of the book Married Sex available in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order this book from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the title of the book from Gary Thomas and Deborah Falada is Married Sex. Order online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-358-6329, 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. And by the way, if you've not yet checked out the online course that we're offering called The Nearly Complete Guide to Better Married Sex, a 5-part online video-based course that has projects and podcasts to listen to, find out more when you go to our website, familylifetoday.com. You can sign up for the course online, again, at familylifetoday.com. Now, of course, today is Valentine's Day, and if that's news to you right now, you're probably in trouble. You should have made reservations or gotten your gift earlier, but it's still not too late. Here at Family Life, our mission is that every day in your marriage would be a day of oneness. We believe that's God's design for marriage, is that husbands and wives would be one. And we want to effectively develop godly marriages and families. This program exists to provide you with practical, biblical help and hope for your marriage and your family. And we're so grateful for those of you who partner with us to make this program possible. In fact, if you can help with the donation today, we'd love to send you a copy of Dave and Ann Wilson's book, Vertical Marriage, which is all about the essential spiritual foundation necessary for a marriage to be what God intends for it to be. You can make your donation online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Thanks in advance for joining with us and advancing the work of Family Life Today, helping us reach more people more often with God's blueprints for marriage. Now, tomorrow, we're going to hear from Gary Thomas and Deborah Falada about how we should deal with the reality that in many marriages, one person has more interest in, more desire for marital intimacy than the other person does. What do we do with that? We'll tackle that tomorrow. Hope you can be with us for that. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life, a Crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.